Welcome to another episode of Exploring the Arts. My name is Ian McMillan.
And I'm Joel Thiel.
And today we're interviewing Mr. Caleb Salmon. Thank you for being with us.
Hi, thanks for having me.
Yeah. So, who are you?
Well, as you said, very eloquently, I might add, my name is Caleb Salmon. I run recruitment here at New St. Andrews College. I'm also the director of the College Conference and very proudly happy to say an NSA alum.
Okay, so you've had like the whole NSA experience. You've been all the way through.
Exactly. Here. I came, I studied, I conquered. Well, I almost passed. And then I've stayed on afterwards to help, to run recruitment and to convince other people to do it as well.
Yeah.
So, and you're also going through the master's program, right?
Yes. I enjoy some graduate studies. I got a chance in my undergrad to do a good bit of work with some Latin, a little bit of Greek. And I've enjoyed the chance to work on the Master of Arts in Theology and Letters, as well as I'm mainly working for the college, but also get to knock out some graduate studies, which is a fun thing to get to
do. And so you're the first student alum person that we've had on.
I'm honored.
We had Brent Pinkall on
who's an alum,
but he's also a grad alum.
We interviewed him in the context of him being a professor, though. Caleb is not a professor.
I do not teach.
Go ahead.
Well, I say the closest thing I get to teaching is sometimes I say I do teach, but I just teach a class on what is New St. Andrews, and I teach it to visitors. Okay. I do tours, and that's the closest I get.
Okay,
but I do kind of treat it like a class a bit.
So let's unpack that a little bit. What does the day to day look like in recruitment? We'll talk about your actual position, which is super interesting, and then the things you actually say to people.
And the things I actually say to people. Yeah. So the day-to-day of recruitment, it's really fun. I think recruitment is really neat because you get to work with people.
Yeah.
Even though you might know a subject matter really well, like the college, I've worked at the college for a long time, and as a recruiter, you get to know the college very well. You get to know individual people and visitors who know nothing about St. Andrews.
And I can imagine being a student was probably super helpful for selling it.
Exactly. Because you have the insider perspective, in a certain regard, you have been the customer and you are a very satisfied customer who made the decision. Yes, this education was worth it for me. I spent 4 years of my life devoted to it. And then you get to share that with other people. That's really neat. So the day-to-day, it's both it's a lot of, phone calls, Zoom meetings with people all over the country. My team runs preview days. We have one, coming up here soon at the time of this recording, and it's going to be quite large, and that's kind of fun. So we do lots of tours with people coming through the college. We orient them to the facilities, the program, kind of the people within the building. Yeah. Honestly, the really interesting thing, we love to talk about the liberal arts and the type of classes we do and get introduce them to people. We try to kind of be that friend who you know in an otherwise odd space and try to help orient you to everything you're doing.
Yeah.
So those were fun days when they all show up. I've had a couple conversations with some of the prospective students and they're from all over the place.
Exactly.
They got all sorts of different backgrounds. And it's also really funny. They'll typically come on a Friday, which is one of the days we do choir rehearsals. Mm-hmm. And so Dr. Erb will
show off.
Yeah, should basically show off. Trying to hey, we're not in the middle of rehearsals of something we're having a hard time with. He'll throw in a song that we know really well. It's like, hey, we're
just going
to
do this.
We're doing just fine.
And I mean, and the visitors actually, they want to see that, I think, in a funny way. When you travel all the way to Moscow, Idaho, some people think of Idaho and they think of this remote
potato farming,
frozen wasteland.
Yeah.
But they make the decision, even with that perception, to fly out here, to come all this way, sometimes internationally. And when they do that, they sit down in choir, like you're saying, Joel, with Dr. Erb. That's when you got to pull out those awesome pieces, the spirituals, and just, where you really show off.
Yeah. Well, I mean, Moscow's a weird place, right? We have there's a weird thing going on here and the Lord's kind of heaped up a whole lot of grace here. And I think, I mean, to your point, it's, I don't know, being able to share kind of the most glorious substance of kind of what's going on here is something that's super cool. I mean,
And it's getting to share that, which is just, it's really unique. And I think, it's that actually that idea of sharing, which I think is both something that happens. It happens at NSA from faculty to students, but also with us from recruiters to guests, because it's, as this NSA student, y'all are experiencing this.
Yeah.
You get this shared love of, hey, I get to share, my love of this subject teacher does with y'all.
Yeah.
When you get to study under Dr. Erb, you cannot come away from that experience and not at least appreciate music a lot more, if not, to be truly honest, have a fully kind of ingrown love of it yourself after studying with him, because it is a fire, it's contagious. And when you talk to contagious people. Now, contagious in the sense of they have a love and they want to share it. There's
not
something
diseased.
Really unique and neat about that. And that when you're a visitor, that's what you want. When you're a student at New St. Andrews College, I think that's what you want. You want to be around people who are zealous for their subject matter.
And you know, well, yeah, with NSA offering the certificate of music, you'll get students who show up who already know about, you know, the music or already know about the language programs or what are, so what are some of the common things that people come in already knowing about? And then some, what are the things that you have seen they don't know anything about? Well, you're teaching them.
I'd imagine it's pretty broad.
It is. That's a really good question, Joel, because there's a lot of various types who come to New St. Andrews College, and that means a lot of various types who are interested in the college and might come to this preview day. You know, some who might have come from a classical Christian school and thus maybe have been in a choir before, who might have, you know, had some Latin before, but then some who are homeschooled and maybe have done Latin but not choir, or worked on piano but not done Latin. Some who've read Herodotus, some who haven't read Herodotus, who have, you know, worked through City of God by Augustine and haven't. So you get all types. I don't think anyone's ever perfectly prepared or ready for New St. Andrews. And so because of that, I think everyone has some things they know, like they've done some Latin, but they don't know how we do Latin, or, you know, they've done music, but they've never been in a choir, at least at our level. And what we as recruiters do in particular is as kind of that friend who is, has the, is in the know, as I've mentioned, we try to fill in those gaps. This is how we do choir. This is how we order our music to the worship of the triune God, and to try to fill in that picture for them. And it's really fun, though, because it means every person who walks through our door, we have to treat them as unique, because they are unique. Not everybody knows the same things or doesn't know the same things. So we have to try to be very attentive to what they know and don't know.
Yeah. And you probably get probably a lot of the same questions, like, oh, how does NSA help me with a career? Which I mean, you could answer in a second, but also like, some, what are some of like the kind of curveball questions that you've gotten? Like, you've never really thought about that at all, or
curveball questions are actually really, really fun, because there are really common. There's the FAQs, the frequently asked questions. You get those and you start to get somewhat of a script, and you actually try not to get ever too much on script, because it gets bland, you know, and the visitors can sense that. So curveball questions are actually really fun. This is a funny story. You know, I'm almost like, should I say this on, you know, a podcast we're going to publish, but I'll tell it. I was doing a tour a few months ago, and somebody asked me, what's the percentage of graduates who get married at NSA? And I went, okay, that's a question I kind of get, but not a lot. And so I talked about, well, in my experience, you know, some students are ready for that jump and taking on the additional responsibility of marriage while finishing out their college degree. So that was kind of a good answer, at least decent enough answer to that question. But then they took it one step further and they asked, so what do your faculty do? How do you ensure that dating happens well? And I was like, well, you know, we are a Christian community full of Christians. And so you're going to get lots of great advice, but we don't have, you know, strict rules on only holding hands between 8 and 5, you know, something like that.
School regulated dating.
But it was actually, you know, but there was so much laughter in that tour group at that time, because they understood why the, you know, the parent decided to ask that question. It was a good question. And was actually insightful, but not one I was, not a common question by means of how do we make, you know, how do we make sure dating happens in a good way? You know, there's a lot of Christian advice you'll get here, but not a particular formula. So.
Yeah. How do you pitch the liberal arts? Just kind of as a whole.
That's a really great question. It's funny. I was chatting with somebody recently about the idea of a pitch, and I think there's a danger. There's a laziness that comes with the idea of a pitch, this set of rote words that you say over and over again.
Presentation.
It's a presentation. Right. Yeah. Exactly. And I think with people, which is who we're dealing with in recruitment, we're not dealing with kind of face or formless, you know, there's someone over there. We're like, we know student A, you know, his name is John. He's from Mississippi. We know him. We try to actually stay away from a set of just rote words, because we want to identify, what does John want? What are John's desires? Mm-hmm. Does he want to be the right type of person that NSA helps you be? And do his desires align with what NSA does? And I think a lot of the times it does. And so we as recruiters, what we're actually doing is we're bringing out, hey, here's how your desires you already have
aligned with
to be a strong Christian who stands firm in the face of the culture wars and persecution, who is going to raise faithful families and lead well, all these things that we do at NSA. We try to help you understand, how does NSA do that? So that's one, I think the first facet of how do we give a pitch? Well, we identify the person first.
Yeah.
But we do say certain sets of words, and I'm happy to tell you a little bit about that. I think at a baseline that kind of applies to everybody, the liberal arts are for the free man.
Yeah.
It's literally what we mean with the word liberal. It's not a political spectrum thing. It's these are the arts for a free man. And we think, rightly so, in 21st century America, that all people should have the ability to be free people and have the ability to think clearly, and they should be free in all respects. They should be free from the tutelage of others, where you can come to your own conclusions. You should be able to do that. You should be free from provincialism, thinking that 21st century America is the only thing that's ever existed. I know you guys know, as NSA students, that's not the case. And there's a rich tradition of texts and thinkers that have come before us that have laid the foundation for where we are.
There's also the 20th century America.
And the 20th century. And the 19th, and some really good ones like Lewis in the 20th century. So I think at a baseline, that's kind of always my pitch is, isn't this the right kind of person you want to be, where you have had these processes and these skills and these this type of learning inculcated in you as a person that also then turns you and directs you to the worship of the triune God? Because that's the other thing about the liberal arts, and then I'll kind of finish my spiel here, but you know, the liberal arts are not neutral, and this is not something that's unique to me. Dr. Chris Schlecht is something he's written in his papers, but Dr. Schlecht, you know, says the liberal arts are the liberal arts when they are, you know, correctly ordered to the worship of the triune God. When you learn about this world, this, you know, the stones cry out, and you as a person cry out and worship him when you've had this type of education. So.
Nice.
So in short, that's, or maybe not short, but.
Okay. So the, another big thing that we've talked about before on this podcast is called conference. And so one of the questions I did have was how, I don't know, so NSA kind of facilitates that, right? How does everything you just talked about kind of play into how you guys run cult conference and what is cult conferences, et cetera, et cetera?
Absolutely. Yeah. So if I'm going to explain the cult conference, I'm going to give a little bit of personal anecdotes and background. So I grew up in Texas. I was homeschooled. And I grew up Southern Baptist, a great Reformed Baptist church back in Texas, really just rock solid. But when I grew up, I went to church camp. That was my experience. Yeah. And church camp was in outside of Albuquerque, New Mexico. And it was an event that you would go to as a church. And for high schoolers, middle schoolers, and you would bring your unchurched friends, and the kind of the
so it was like an evangelism.
It was an evangelistic outreach, and they were actually amazing. They were good camps, and there's a real place for them. And I remember the centerpiece of those camps was the altar call every night after you'd done some kind of mission work in Albuquerque. And after you'd done worship through the day, the altar call was kind of the centerpiece of, if you are ready to come to Christ, this here and now, this is the time.
Yep.
Which that is great. And there is obviously a time for action. But I remember thinking, as a Christian who'd grown up in a Christian household, the first time I went, okay, I need to make my adult faith my own. So I remember I did the altar call and I'm a Christian. I'm going to take on this identity. But then I went the next year and they did the altar call again. And I went, okay, well, you know, I need more sanctification. I need wisdom.
You need to get really serious.
But I was like, okay, so I need to come to Christ again.
I need to come to Christ
every
harder.
Day at this
every
camp.
Harder, you know, every day, which actually is true. You do need to come to Christ every day and every week at church. And that's, you know, that's actually kind of the centerpiece of a covenant renewal worship service is every Sunday you come to Christ.
Nice.
But I kind of remember thinking for the altar call, I went, this doesn't feel like it's for me, but I'm glad to be here because it's such a great moment for these other kids. So I remember in high school thinking that. So that's kind of my setup to lead into what is the called conference. When I got to New St. Andrews, I got to staff the called conference as a student and got to be a team lead. And I went, wow, this is a really amazing camp because this is a Christian church conference and camp for students who've grown up in the church and all are already Christians. We expect you to already have some of your primary doctrine kind of, yes, I know that Christ is Lord, that he died for my sins. I know that the Trinity is a real thing. I understand the presence of the Holy Spirit in my life and that it is working through me. You understand some of the basic primary doctrine, but you need tons of coaching and help as a 14 to 18 year old on, okay, but how do I actually live this out? Because we live in a time in the 21st century where it is very difficult to know how to have the right relationships at that age with your peers, with you know, older mentors and with the culture as a whole. A time where you're trying to figure out your calling in life. What are you doing here? What calling has God put on you in particular? And how do you work towards that? I think especially we struggle with that, especially honestly as young men when you're 14, 18. How does my work relate to my calling all within my identity as a Christian? And that is what the Called Conference is for. So the Called Conference, as a tagline, is a culture-shaping boot camp all under the Lordship of Jesus Christ. So we want you as a student to leave the cult conference understanding, yes, this is how I go live life better because of what I have learned this week. Mm. Not that I came to Christ, but maybe I'm going to know him even better and get to live even better for him after this conference. So that's kind of a longer spiel again, but hopefully helps.
So I guess, what does that look like on kind of the day-to-day, you know, the week of cult conference? What are some of the activities going on? Mm. What, I know there's talks, what are, there's kind of a theme for each conference,
Joe
right?
Rigney.
Yeah, Joe Rigney is the talker this year.
So for you, the audience, Joe Rigney, called 2024, you for the low, low price of, I think, right above $600, can be a called camper, and we still have room in week two. So that's for you.
Do it.
And then back to you guys. Yeah. So yes, Dr. Joe Rigney is going to be our keynote speaker this year. He's going to be bringing us the word every day from Romans. And then, generally speaking, what called looks like is a set of talks in the mornings and also workshops where you're getting talks usually from pastors or faculty, usually faculty and pastors related to New St. Andrews here. And they're really practical, I think, especially for young people, 14 to 18. It's, you know, we do one talk most years on how do you have wise, discerning relationships, not just with the other sex, though definitely with that, but also like with peers, like, you know, with guys with guys, girls with girls. How do you have relationships that are actually going to build you up, that are going to be iron sharpening iron? And that, I mean, that's huge, because, I mean, you when you're a young kid, I think you actually, in many regards, are on the forefront of the culture war with just your peers.
Totally.
And you're figuring out who you're going to be, and it's hugely important. So so talks with faculty and pastors in the area. We do workshops with NSA faculty where you for an hour get to go and you kind of do a New St. Andrews class, kind of, but without any of the homework. So it's kind of all of the really fun parts about being in college: the lecture, the discussion, hearing from somebody who's much wiser than you, who has done a lot of study on a particular subject, and you just get to do 4 1-hour sessions with them in a small group of about 20 students, and that's really, really fun.
I
know one of them last year was like the history of rock and roll with Dr. Schlecht, which I was like, I really wish I had done that. Honestly,
some of the workshops are so good, I would go, I might need to sneak into the back of those. But that's a great example of culture is not neutral. Rock and roll is neutral, and in as much as rock and roll is good, however much that is, it is going to proclaim the worship of the triune God. Yeah. And so I know, going through the history of that, talking about music, what it is, music philosophy. I mean, that's some of the things we help you do at the college conference. Those are discussions that are really important here in our day and age, but are sometimes hard to have, and you don't always have the right people and wise counselors. So
nice.
And coming into leadership at the college conference, what were some behind the scenes things that you found out on your way to planning the one you did?
Because when I was first involved with the called conference, I was just a team lead, but became the director of the conference. I mean, there's a lot of fun stuff you get to work through with, you know, kind of event setup, coordinating between, you know, hundreds of students, you know, dozens and dozens of faculty, speakers, different organizations, lodging. I found that a lot of the pre-work for the called conference is this, is a lot of just grunt work. It's a lot of just basic event setup. But I think the really fun part is once you've done all that, there's a culmination and a joy you then have for when the called conference comes together and you see these students sitting in the chairs, listening to the talks, and you see them all in their brightly colored t-shirts, you know, for their teams, and you're seeing them being discipled. The joy is, I mean, you go, wow, this was worth every bit of all the emails back and forth over getting that auditorium and everything for getting those fields for the field day games and all that. So it's really fun.
Awesome. Now, I wanted to go back to one of the questions we talked about a little earlier. So like careers and NSA getting you ready for, life after it. So how does a liberal arts education, the arts for the free man, how do those help you to, succeed in a career or find that spot where you fit in?
Absolutely. So I think that, one of the ways we talk about this at New St. Andrews College is in terms of vocation. Every man and woman has a vocation. Now, that is more than just your professional career. The vocation is kind of the sum total of all of the things that the Lord has called you to take responsibility for and own. And so I think NSA prepares you in a really great way for a vocation. It prepares you for all of the things you're going to need to be doing. Mm-hmm. It's going to prepare you to be, father and a husband, elder at a church, just a stalwart pillar of whatever community you're in. But also it's going to prepare you for whatever business you're in. Because one of the things New St. Andrews teaches you to do is it teaches you to work. It teaches you at a really basic level. This is how you organize all of your time very, very well. This is how you put on a huge load and you get it done well. And then you learn and you actually get you love the challenge of doing even more. And I think learning to love that challenge of doing even more, that's something that's characteristic of all NSA alums. And you guys might even be able to speak to this as you guys have gone through the years.
Yeah. The day of filming this was the day in our history class, one of our big, like 3,000 word papers were due. And so there's a lot of work that goes into that research papers. And you're in like the sword and shovel on Saturday. I was in there and there were at least a dozen students cycling in and out. Slaving over their computers. Working exactly. But it does. Yeah. It does teach you to work really hard. Like forces you to learn time management.
Totally. Well, and that gets into some of the kind of other distinctives of NSA. I think I remember kind of when I came here initially, I was kind of taken aback that like student housing wasn't a thing, right? That's pretty typical of like big colleges.
Yeah, it is.
And there was this big push and emphasis on, students working, like living lives outside of school, but all of it's kind of incorporated into one thing, right? It's not as though, they serve each other, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yes.
So I don't know, like for somebody like me who was weirded out by that, can you kind of talk about the reasoning behind that? Like why, why, as Dr. Merkel is fond of talking about, why don't we provide all the crazy amenities for all the students here?
Well, I think to kind of pair that, why don't we have amenities? Why do we do life the way we do here in New St. Andrews paired with, how does that help with professional career?
Yeah.
I think it's because New St. Andrews is this high octane form of real life.
Yeah.
You're not here taking a sabbatical. You're actually here going pedal to the metal, maybe actually more than you will for the rest of your life. So the rest of the life seems easy, actually, because when you've already done housing for years, when you've already done 60 hours a week, where you do 40 hours a week of school, and then you go teach or you go coach or you go do a part-time job, you do filmmaking, you know, any of these different things, the rest of life is kind of follows more of that pattern. You go, I know what it's like to do hard things. And that applies to all these professional various fields that you might find yourself in or find that you want to go do. You know, everybody has big projects. It doesn't matter what field you're in, you're going to have big projects.
Everybody's busy.
And everybody's busy.
Yeah.
And everybody needs to know how to organize their time and get big projects over kind of over the hump and across the finish line. Yeah. So Joel, to your credit, what you did today with that 3,000 word paper, getting it over the finish line, setting a marker, I'm going to get this done, it's going to be by this point, and then doing it. That's a cycle you do for the rest of your life. And I know you know this because you've already been doing it for a couple of years now, but that's normal. And when you hit the workforce and you're that type of person, what New St. Andrews has continually seen over and over again is our alumni are just incredibly well received and employers are just astounded at the type of people that our alumni are, because they're people who know how to think, they know how to articulate thoughts clearly, and they know how to get things done. And that's a really potent combo. And on top of that, because they know the liberal arts, they know how to teach themselves. So our grads are in all types of fields. You know, we've had grads who they went into software engineering and they're now, chief officers in those fields at their companies. We've had alums go into medicine, law, start their own businesses. Yeah. Starting your own business, actually being an entrepreneur, that is in many regards what the liberal arts is for. You know, classically going back, you know, if you were a liberal arts, you got a liberal arts education if you were a free man, literally free man versus a slave.
Right.
And if you're a free man, that meant you were usually a landowner or you like ran your own business.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And you needed to be able to do a lot of things. You needed to be able to like balance the books or the clay tablets. and you needed to be able to keep things organized and make sure people were getting things done.
Yeah.
I think especially the liberal arts lends itself to entrepreneurship and starting your own business, because that in a lot of regards is taking dominion, which is something you also theologically get very potently in our theology. So it's funny, we get more detail. I don't know if it'd be helpful for the audience, but there's so many fields our alums are in that would be astounding and they're doing really well in. And that's actually a design feature, not a bug.
Totally.
That our alums are in all these various types of fields because they're supposed to be culture building, and culture is broad.
Yeah.
Culture is medicine and law and education and churches and and laying brick and like all of these different things. That's culture.
Totally.
Mm-hmm. So
let's press on that a little bit more and say, like, I don't know, say if somebody is daunted by that and it's kind of like, well, that sounds like a lot coming to, I don't know if I want to come to NSA. That seems hard.
Yep.
I don't know. What would your exhortation to that sort of person be?
That's a great question. Yeah.
And I guess on top of that, when you're kind of pitching the school to people, what is your kind of balance between, you know, I want to make sure they know that they're going to be working hard, but I don't want to scare them off. Mm-hmm. Like, oh, you're just going to be slaving away on your computer for 10 hours a day or whatever.
I think, this is where I like to get away from a pitch. And yeah. I just actually like to have a relation, because if I have a relationship with somebody, I can give them authentic personal testimony and I can say, well, I did it. Yeah. And I think, I mean that honestly, and I'll say this because I don't mind. My first year at New St. Andrews, I showed up as an 18-year-old. It was rough academically. Yeah. I was homeschooled growing up, so I had some of a classical background, but kind of not really. I spent too much time working at Chick-fil-A and playing basketball and not enough time on school in high school. So I got here and I was academically out of shape. I was not ready for what NSA had for me. So my freshman year, I started in honors Latin, and that was a huge difficulty. And I really wanted to stay in there, but I was almost dropped down a number of points. I was not scoring that well. My rhetoric declamations my freshman year were not that great. They were all right, but not super good. And music was the great onus for me, because I had never done music before getting here.
Yeah.
I had never seen the circle of fifths. I'd never seen sheet music really at all. And then you get here and you need to be doing, you know, dictation quizzes with Dr. Erb, where he gives you the notes and you have to kind of know.
Write it on sheet music.
You have to write it on sheet music eventually. At least you have to be able to do rhythm syllables pretty quickly. Yeah. And that was all brand new. Mm-hmm. And so my first 6 months it's a story of pain and toil. But also, thankfully, of the community coming around me to lift me up in that time and get me through it. I remember I was unbelievably poured into by upperclassmen in that time, upperclassmen who are now faculty at NSA, who studied with me. Caleb Harris just went and got coffee with me at Boots. There's a number of different Saturdays we just worked on Latin. And that was just out of the kindness of his heart.
Yeah.
I remember upperclassmen I lived with who made sure I was eating enough. Literally, we did meals together as a house when I was a student, and they made sure that I had a good full belly when they knew I was about to go try to do my Latin, you know?
Yeah.
And so being unbelievably poured into in a time where it was very rough, the reason, honestly, I did graduate. And eventually as I got into my second year, sophomore year and junior year, I started to hit my stride. I started to figure out my academic strengths, my weaknesses, where I really enjoyed studying. So to answer your question, to kind of circle back around, how do you balance that? This is a difficult thing, but you can do it. The difficult thing I kind of give the stats for, you know, you work on school a lot, you do these classes, but you can do it. I did it. I know tons of people who have done it. I know that this is feasible. Mm-hmm. It's just something you have to want and you need to set your mind to. This needs to be your full-time job. But I really do think just about anybody can succeed at New St. Andrews, regardless of most backgrounds. So,
totally. Yeah.
I've been really grateful for the amount of resources that are available to students. In especially we were talking about, Moscow is a very, very special place. It's got a, like the Bible studies groups that they set up and, the faculty invite the students over to dinner at least once a week and just have.
Yeah, it is a strange thing, right? And I think to your point, Caleb, the another thing that's really emphasized here is the community, and that's often many people's, where many of their memories are made, right?
Yep.
Kind of in the whole community support and, just brotherhood and church family that exists here.
Yeah. And I love how organic it is too. And this was, it was the organicness that really is why I actually was helped by it so much. I was not invited. NSA does not put you with a Bible study when you first get into New St. Andrews. It doesn't assign you to this will be your Bible study or anything like that.
It assigns other students to go find you and be like, hey, you should.
The NSA has wits who are tasked with the responsibility of making sure that someone's keeping an eye on, particularly the freshmen. But when a 22-year-old comes up to you at 18 and says, hey, I'm in a Bible study. It happens at, my wife's place and I invite over some other single guys. And you're like, wow, a 22-year-old who's put together, is working, finishing up NSA and is married. Yeah, I want to know how that guy interprets the scriptures. And also, I just want to get some life advice from him as I'm trying to figure out how to navigate, all those waters myself.
Yep.
That, and the fact that he was not, no one told him he had to come do it with me in particular, but that he just did. That's authentic. That's relationship. That's community.
Yeah.
And that was really influential.
Yeah. The organicness of it. I think that one thing is it comes from a very intentional building a community and building a way that we do things. Like one example is during Prologus week, all the students are exhorted to, hey, you can manage your time well enough so that you don't have to do any work on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Then go have lunch after church, go have lunch at a older couple's house,
exactly,
talk to them or go hang out with your friends or something. So it's really trying to get a good balance of that. And it works out really well.
It really does. And that's why I like that we bring up that exhortation at Prologis. And Prologis is, I know you guys know this, but Prologis is the orientation week to New St. Andrew's College. It's this word we have for it, but it's literally the pre-word to the rest of your college experience. And that's why it's great. It's at the very beginning when you're getting introduced to everything, we tell you, make sure you're hosting, be hosted, go be in community. The community is what gets you through everything when, you know, you're in hour four of working on Greek or Latin or that type of thing.
Exactly.
Nice. And so you talked a little bit about your experience at NSA. Mm-hmm. So I guess talk a little bit more about that, how it's changed since you left the undergrad program. Mm-hmm.
Things you're excited for in the future.
Yeah, where it's going.
Yeah, so I mean, NSA is a little bit different than when I was a student. You know, I think full-time enrollment, I now know these numbers. I didn't know this when I was a freshman, but I think full-time enrollment when I was 18 was right about probably 140, maybe 150. And
the whole college.
The whole college.
Yeah.
Nice. Next year, we should be eclipsing 300. So next year, the college is going to have doubled in size. And it really already has, to be honest, doubled in size since I was here. You know, when I was a student, we had 50 people in my class. And then now, you know, I think both of y'all about 90, and there should be 100 students plus. We should, you know, actually probably be capping the absolute number of students we can take this year because we have so many, which is great for my department.
Yeah.
but that growth is really funny for me because, you know, I'm both the instrument. I am the instrument of destroying something that I have loved, which is the really small community at New St. Andrews College. You know,
yeah,
I'm too good at my job.
Your words, not mine. I will say recruitment's a fun thing to be in, but I actually think it's just that in 21st century America has seen the need for classical education and classical education continuing through the college level. We've realized we need not just K-12 grads in classical ed, but we need college graduates who are this capable.
Yeah.
So I think our department, you know, we try to work hard, but I think really we're in the right place, right time as part of it. But for what did I love? What's changed? So I loved that I knew every person in my class. By the end of my freshman year, I knew most people in the school by name, but I had an individual relationship with just about every person in my class. Mm-hmm. And by the end of my senior year, I was friends with every single person in my cohort. That's really unique. That meant that I knew exactly where my community lay with, you know, the guys in my class, who I was going to be playing rugby with, who I would, you know, take backpacking trips with. I kind of, you knew who your guys were. You knew the ladies in your class, you knew the ladies who was going to be studying with, cause they were quite smart. and there may have been some ulterior motives there. but I loved the size.
Yeah.
So that's something that's changing, but I really do think the hall system is the right solution to that problem. But that question of how does NSA grow and stay small, which is always something the community that is clearly integral to what we're doing. I think the hall system is splitting the college into three separate halls, which will eventually incorporate into three separate colleges and be all under the heading of New St. Andrews University. I think that's the right move. To answer your question, Joel, that's what's different. And I think it's okay.
Nice. Well, to the point of kind of having individual relationships with people, that may have been more the case when you were there, but I know what still is the case is, you know, generally people will know everybody else in the class, mm-hmm. and it's noticeable if somebody's, you know, more
aloof, not as
involved. So you will still be, you know, recognized, and you still are mm-hmm. around,
yes.
and people know who you are.
Yes.
Even if you're not
as plugged
the,
in.
Yeah.
I think the
epicenter of everything, but.
And I think the new class at NSA, the new classes, the new cohorts of students have done a good job, trying their best to kind of keep community real, especially as you get a larger group of people, because that's difficult to have an individual relationship with 90 people in your class as opposed to 50. You know, by the end, we graduated 35. So I think I've seen good relationships interclass, which I'm glad to see, which is important.
And with soup nights, which are offered free to the freshmen, the faculty have host the soup nights, but then moving on into further years, it is now on the students. Mm-hmm. They actually are class. Yeah. It's mm-hmm. just, there's actually a certain kind of level of competition to see, okay, who can jump on signing up to host soup night this week.
Yep, absolutely.
And so it's student led, student invited, invites all the other students.
Yeah.
It's a good community. It's really
and
good.
And I think you're touching on something I brought up on a tour yesterday, which is we've already used the word organic with our community and the culture here around New St. Andrews. Mm-hmm. But the fact that things like Soup Night, which is an instituted part of freshman year, the college makes sure it happens for freshmen. But after your freshman year, no one necessarily hosts, there's no faculty who hosts Soup Night for a whole class. The fact that groups of students have decided to take that up because they still want to be fellowshipping with each other in their homes every week, that is the definition of tradition, this thing that is passed down. It's not this top down, yes, you shall do this. It's we want to do this. Mm-hmm. And that's because somebody else has inculcated within me a desire for this thing. Yeah. And that's what I love about NSA is there are traditions that some that come and go, but there are traditions that are just truly held as, you know, 10 years later, there's a whole new group of students here, but you know, there are still some dances at NSA and there are still soup nights and these types of things that would not be here if an upperclassman or the college had not helped an underclassman, a freshman, understand that it was important to do.
Yeah. Great.
All right.
Well, Caleb, thank you so much for coming on. This has been wonderful.
Absolutely. My pleasure, guys. Thanks for having me.